Chevre, new week, new Sefer, Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. Here we go. The first idea that we're going to speak about is something that comes up in the beginning of the third parak, in the beginning of the fourth aliyah. Here in Parshas Bamidbar, the pasuk says in Parak Gimel Pasuk Aleph. And Beis says the pasuk Aleph ve'ele toldos Aharon Moshe biyom diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. Right, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke on this particular day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with Moshe and Har Sinai. And the pasuk in pasuk Beis goes on and says ve'ele shmos b'nei Aaron habechor Nadav avihu Elazar v'Tamar. And right, these are the sons of Aaron. Right, the Nadav ben Avihu, Elazar ben Tamar, Elish Mos ben Aaron, Akorim, Amushalem, Asher Milei Adam LeKohen, and it continues about talking about Aaron's sons, and v'chule v'chule. It's interesting to note, though, that in Pasuk Aleph we mentioned the Torah said that we're about to list the children of Aaron and Moshe, but yet it never Parshas Bamidbar never really got to the children of Moshe. Rather, it only spoke about the children of Aaron. So what exactly is Pshat? Why did the Torah only mention the children of Aaron? So Rashi on the spot has a comment. He says I'll quote word for word. Ve'enu maskir ela b'nei Aaron, and the Torah only mentioned the children of Aaron. V'nikru todos Moshe lefisha lamdan Torah. But Rashi adds a chiddush that what? That they were also considered the children of Moshe. Why? Because he taught them Torah. Milamid, right? Milamid shekoa milamid esben chaviru Torah ma'alav akosif kilu yaldo. Right? As Rashi quotes the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Yud Testament Beis that says that whoever teaches someone Torah, if he teaches his friends children Torah, it's as if those who are learning Torah are considered ki'ilu sons, and it's considered those that teach the Torah to those people, they're also considered like a second father of theirs. And this is such a yesod in terms of this idea, in terms of relating Talmud Torah and the relationship between the Lomde Torah and the Malam and the teachers of Torah, about this idea about the sense of connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud, and this connection actually works both ways. Like we just mentioned, it's not the fact that the Rebbe's the father, and nor is it just that the Talmud's the son, The Pshat is that in every family there's a father and then there's children, and the children need to act a certain way towards the father, and the father needs to act a certain way towards the children, and that's exactly what the relationship needs to be between a Rebbe and a Talmud, that the Rebbe needs to feel that he's like a father, and he also has to view his Talmidim is not only Talmidim but also sons, and also it's on the students to feel that they themselves are sons, and also to view the Rebbe as also almost like some type of father figure. We have this idea that also comes up regarding Elisha HaNavi. Elisha HaNavi, he considered Eliyahu HaNavi as Rebbe, and he refers to him as Ke'avi Avi. My father. The Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph explains that what's the pshat in the double lashon of Avi, and over there, we explain that the double lashon is Rebbe Eliyahu Navi was Ki'ilu like his father and his mother, which has a certain nice oomph to it. Revolbi. He would emphasize a lot, both in terms of Shmuzin and also the different works he's written about. Is quoted to really drive his point home regarding the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. We all know Revolbi was a tremendous Mashkiach, one of the biggest Bali Musar. Only was Nifter a couple years ago, but he also viewed his Talmidim as mamish sons, and he loved every single one of them, and it wasn't just something that all of a sudden in Revolbi's eyes that just appeared out of nowhere. That's something that he got from his Rebbe. Revolbi considered Rebbe Rucham Levavitz, the great Mashkiach of Mir, his Rebbe, And it wasn't just Revolbi. And Mir was known that the Mashkiach, the great Mashkiach Rabbi Ruchim was Ki'ilu, the father and the mother of every Talmud. Especially those Talmudim in those days, they would leave home, they would go to yeshiva. And there was no Benes Manim, there was no off in Shabbos, out Shabbos. You went there. Who knows? People they tell stories that people used to go, but we used to go for months and some even years without even returning home. They would just stay in yeshiva. And I went about growing up without a father figure, without a mother figure, you know, consistently in your life. That was the Mashkiach's job. That was the Rebbe's job. That was the role that Rabbi Ruchim Lubavitch filled. And he treated all the Bachram and Mir as if they were his own, and they were his own children, and the Bachram themselves they also reciprocated and viewed Rabbi Ruchim as not only a Mashkiach and a Rebbe but also as a father figure. Revolbi also he doesn't write this, but it said B'shem Revolbi that when he was in when he was learning in Europe at the time. He once made a comment to one of the other Bachram that he said that he was talking to another Bachram the first time he met this other yeshiva guy, and the yeshiva guy asked him, "News, so how old are you?" So Revolbi answered, I'm 2 years and 3 months old. Ki'ilu, I'm only 27 months old." But this was, this was a time in which Revolbi was already yeshiva bachar, age yeshiva gedol. He was probably 17, 18, 19 years old or something like that. So what's the pshat that he was only 2 years and 3 months old? So he would explain. So he explained that what's the pshat that exactly 2 years and 3 months ago from when he had this conversation, that was the first time he met his Rebbe, Rav Yeruchim Lubavitch, and he felt that he felt like he was a new nolad, and so he felt like he was sort of like reborn. Why? Because now he sort of like had like he was reborn again to a new set of parents. He had a connection with his biological parents, but he also felt like there was a certain amount of hischadshus, a certain reinauguration of his life. That the fact that he finally met this Rebbe who was also going to be his father figure, and this is such an important yisod in terms of the world of chinuch. Again, in terms of mechanchim and rabbanim, in order to really have a positive influence on talmidim, and in order for them to learn in a very positive atmosphere, you have to actually show that you care. The rabbanim, mashkichim, rosh yeshiva, poskim, dayanim, magdishurim, they have to show that they care. And in terms of what it's not just caring about that they learn well, that they become talmid chachamim. Caring about the individual, caring about the students, caring about the talmidim as if they were their own children. And so they're not just students, they're also children, right? We say Shema Vishinamtam Luvanecha Elohim Talmidecha, sons, children. It works both ways. And it's very, very important that the kids, the talmidim or the children, that they feel that there's a certain amount, that there's a certain extent of warmth, and there's a certain amount, a certain extent of ava and care that the rebbeim have, towards the talmidim, both in terms of inside the Beis Medrash and even outside the Beis Medrash. It's so nice to see that there's certain yeshivas some in America, some in Israel, in which the rabbanim again they put such an emphasis in terms of connecting with the talmidim, again not only inside the Beis Medrash but even outside the Beis Medrash, inviting them over for Shabbos, playing with them sports, this overall aspect of a positive loving relationship that a Rebbe acting as a father towards a talmid as a son. And again, there's also a certain chiyuv on the Talmud himself, that the Talmud should also try to connect to the Rebbe. The Talmud shouldn't feel shy or embarrassed or distant from the Rebbe. The Talmud should feel like a son, just like a son is willing to he loves his father and he trusts him. He trusts him on everything. So too, Talmidim shouldn't necessarily be super reserved. Rather they should understand that these Rebbeim here are Ki'ilu, your fathers, and they want to connect with you, but there's also an Indian in terms of the Talmidim themselves having to try to reach out just like a son isn't necessarily embarrassed to reach out to his father. So I've kind of idea number one. Idea number two, something that appears in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Vav, towards the end of the Parshan Shvi. We're speaking about the different Kohanim ended up covering different Kalim and the Mikdash and the Mishkan and the Vichule. And the Pasuk says Perek Dalet Pasuk Vav, Nasul of Kisoy or Tachash Ufarshu Beged Chelil Chelas Milamal Vesavu Badav. We're referring to the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh. It says that there was a tachash that was covered on top of it, right? But on top of the tachash, they put this special cover of the color of tchelis, this turquoise purple type of color. It's important to ask that we know throughout the different items, everything was really covered with tachash. So why dafka by the Aron Kodesh, in addition to the tachash, we put this tchelis type of cover on top. What exactly is so significant about the tchelis? We can ask what's so significant about the Aron Kodesh, and also what exactly is so significant about the tchelis, about the color of tchelis as opposed to the color of tachash. So the Ramban explains that the color of tchelis has a certain representation. The color of tchelis is this purple blue type of color, which sort of represents the color of the sea. And the color of the sea is parallel to what? The color of the skies. And the color of the skies represents what? Represents a certain level of kvod shamayim. It's almost like a certain. It's symbolizing that when we're around the Aron, when we're carrying the Aron, there needs to be a certain mindset of what we're doing here is we need to have a lot of more kavod Torah, kavod shemaim, that we're ki'ilu sitting right before the kisei hakavod. Just to deepen this idea a little bit, we know right the gemara in Chulin on Daf Pei Tesem and Aleph regarding the Indian of Tcheles. The Gemara Chulin says that Tcheles represents, the Kav Tcheles represents Emunah. Why? Because the Gemara Chulin, Pei Tesem and Aleph says, quote, Shezeh Eben Sapir V'doma L'Kisei HaKavod. Again, representing the idea of the fact that the color is representing the color of Shemayim, and the fact that when you look at the color of Tcheles, it should remind you of the Kisei HaKavod. And it causes, and the pshat is, and it's a big chizik and emunah, because when you look at the colors and you start to think in terms of what it symbolizes, it's like all of a sudden you start to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu and everything that he has done, everything that he's doing, and everything that he will do, and it strengthens a person's emunah a lot, as opposed to what? As opposed to tachash. Tachash represents what? Tachash represents a color. It symbolizes a certain amount of encouragement in order to be mekayim mitzvos. Why? Because what's the pshat? Because it looks very beautiful on the outside. Certain things that appear beautiful, certain things that look very nice. It's very easy to be drawn into that. It's very fun, enjoyable, relaxing. Who wouldn't want to be a part of something that's so beautiful and so nice? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that what exactly is the chiluk and why is it shaykh to the Aron Kodesh. So he says that what the tchelis, right, we know tchelis, that's why tchelis needs to be on top, because the tchelis, right, is about emunah, and this is a yesod in terms of kiyum mitzvahs, that in order to be mekayim mitzvahs, a person should not be mekayim mitzvahs in a very shitchi way, in a very superficial way, right, in terms of why we're doing mitzvahs. Oh, it looks nice, it's gishmak, right, you look, certain things are enjoyable. Oh, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? But that shouldn't be the reason why exactly we are a part of that, right? That's what represents the tachash. When we're talking about the Aron Kodesh and we want to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it shouldn't be because it's enjoyable and because it's nice,
Rather, what it needs to come from a certain amount of emuna, right? We're mekayim mitzvahs not because we necessarily think it's enjoyable and it's convenient for us. Rather, we're mekayim mitzvahs because we want to be mekayim mitzvahs because that's who we are as Jewish people. We as Jewish people understand that there is a God, and we believe in that God, who is referred to as a Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, and He gave us certain mitzvahs, and we're mekayim the mitzvahs not because of convenience, but rather because we are ma'aminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's such a yesod in terms of the way a person supposed to be mekayim mitzvahs, right? It's not you see a lot of times certain mitzvahs are very very easy to be mekayim. Whether it be the nature of the mitzvah, or whether it be the environment in terms of where the mitzvah is done, in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of the flashy moments, it's not a chiddush to be mekayim, certain mitzvahs when everyone's doing it, or it's very glamorous, or it's in certain ways in ways in which like there's no real yetzar or taiva, not to really do these mitzvahs, because if a lot of people are doing it and again, if it's coming from a very very superficial way, it's not really so challenging to be mekayim mitzvahs again in the easy moments. The chiddush is that even in the dark times where it's not so posh to be mekayim mitzvahs, whether it be again the type of mitzvah or the atmosphere in terms of a person's in, or whether the environment that is surrounding the person, sometimes if those things are not necessarily up to par, it's much harder to be mekayim the mitzvahs. Those are dafka the times in which you really need to deep down. We need to really dig deep and search for that emuna, and search for that mentality that hey, we have to have that tchelis color, represented, on our minds, because that causes us to think about the Kisei HaKavod. And even in those challenging times where we're sort of being detracted from those thoughts of emuna, dafka those times, that's the time in which it's the biggest chiddush to be mekayim the mitzvos, right? We say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, right? Tov Lahodes Lashem Lezamer Shel Yom Lahagid Baboker Chasdecha. It's very, very easy to speak about the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us during the day, right? It's light outside. We can see things in the open. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does open miracles, it's easy to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When things are going well, it's very, very easy. But what's the pshat? What's the chiddush that in the dark times we don't necessarily see the Yad Hashem, whether again in a physical way, if it's dark outside, or in terms of if we're going through a dark tkufa in which it's not so simple to really see Yad Hashem? Dafka in those times, that's when we need to dig deep and try to do some soul searching and try to draw out the emuna which we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to have that strong base of emuna and ultimately getting back to the idea which you spoke about is that the tchelas itself is supposed to be a representation of that, and therefore it was placed on top of the tachash by regarding to the Aron Kodesh, because again it's supposed to put us in that mindset of we are here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Mitzvos because we are Ma'aminim, not necessarily because it's convenient for us, rather it's because we are doing this because we believe in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad Kan idea number two. Idea number three, a nice short cute idea that actually appears right away in the beginning of the Parsha, right? So we know as the census is about to be taken, right in the beginning of the parsha, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe where? Midbar Sinai. Midbar Sinai, deep in the wilderness, deep in the desert of Sinai. And we know that this conversation, and again that took place between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar of Sinai, we know the chashivas of the area of Sinai, right? As we know, we're leading up to the days of Shavuos, Chag Matan Torah Seinu, Kabbalah Satora. And we know that Maimid Har Sinai, where we got the Torah, was where it was in that area. So for starters, we know that this was a Choshev area. And the Medrash adds that that the chashivas of Sinai was that during Kabbalah Satorah, he explains is that how women kabbal the Torah. And the Medrash writes that it was by Eshuv Amayim, it was fire and water, and it was also by Midbar. It was also in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the desert. With these three factors, so with these three factors of fire, water, and desert and wilderness, the Shem Yishmol explains that these three aspects represent three very, very important midos that a person needs to have in order that will help him make Kinyanei Torah. And the Shem Yishmol, the Sachar Shavar Rebbe, the son of the Avni Nezer, says as follows: that the first one is what Eish, fire. What is fire represented in terms of making Kinyanei Torah? Eish represents a certain amount of a certain blaze. It requires a certain level of hislavos. A person needs to be very enthusiastic when he learns. A person needs to be very, very, a person needs to have emotional feelings when he's mekayim mitzvahs. He's not just a bookworm. He's not just a mitzvah worm who's just some type of robot that's just waking up every day just to check things off. Of some type of list, you know, did I do this for Hashem? Did I do that for Hashem? It's not just about doing things; it's also about feeling closer and achieving a certain level of dveikus. But that can only be done if a person has that ish inside of them, that certain passion and fire of wanting to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanting to be mekayem mitzvos and learning Torah in a very enthusiastic way. The second one is. Is mayim, water. What's up, shot of water? Is that water also, again, in addition to, a person needs to have a proper balance. We just spoke about Esh, about a person needs to be very passionate and enthusiastic, but a person also needs to have a certain amount of balance. A person needs to be calm and focused, just like the water. So a person also needs to learn with tranquility. A person can't have, if a person can't really concentrate, if he has a lot of things going on, it's going to be very, very hard for him to learn Torah, be kind of business, and serve the Ribbono Shalom in the best way possible. So the second mida, what a person needs for Kinyanei Torah, is a person needs to be able to learn with a certain sense of yishuv hadas, a certain amount of tranquility, of peace of mind, to be able to cancel everything out at a certain point when you're learning and saying, okay, I'm learning now in a very calm way, I want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, I'm going to be enthusiastic about it, but it still needs to be balanced with a certain level of tranquility. And the third idea was, again, it took place in the Midbar. What's the Peshat in the Midbar? Is that represented a certain amount of mysterious nefesh, right? It was hot. Right now in Eretz Yisrael, we're experiencing 110-degree weather every day. It's hot outside, and the minyanim are taking place outside. But there's a certain amount of mysterious nefesh. I feel every day it's such a schus to be able to daven in an open area in Eretz Yisrael. I daven mincha gedolah 1:15 every day, and for the past couple of days it's been about 110, 112 degrees every day, and you're only out there for 12, 15 minutes for mincha, and it's like already you're sweating, but you view that it's a certain level of mesiras nefesh that those drips of sweat are sweat of schar. It's a great feeling, and that's exactly what Bnei Yisrael did in terms of, you know, to be mekabel the Torah. They went out to the Midbar, right? It was hot. They left everything behind. There was no air conditioning. They were in the middle of nowhere. Their resources were limited. But that's exactly one of the ways in terms of what a person needs to do in order to make real deep strides. And big steps of growth in terms of limud Torah. Sometimes a person needs to, you know, up the level of serious effort. Sometimes a person needs to go out of his comfort zone, whether it be putting in extra hours on the quantity level, or also in terms of the quality level, exerting himself more. You know, trying to figure out different tactics and strategies in terms of how am I going to up my game? How am I going to up my game in terms of avodas Hashem, in terms of limud Torah, in terms of being mekayem mitzvos? How am I going to be able to take it to the next level? And a certain way to take it to the next level is to be hard on yourself. Don't be afraid to be tough on yourself. Obviously, every person has their limits. A person again, this is very subjective. Every single person needs to take his own measures. Every single needs to make their own cheshbonos. But this is one of the ways in terms of this level of mesiras nefesh being mevater in certain things. Sometimes can help a person make a big kinyani Torah. So these were really three ideas which we spoke about from this week's parsha. Parsha Bamidbar. A, the first thing is the connection between a Rebbe and a Talmud, how it needs to be more. It's not just a teacher to student relationship, rather it's a father to son relationship. B, the second thing we spoke about was the Indian of Tcheles and the fact that it represents supposed to represent the Kisya Kalvin, it's supposed to strengthen our Amuna even in dark times. Then the word supposed to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, the bigger Chiddush has been Mekayim Mitzvahs even during the dark times. And C, we spoke about this Indian of the Midbar Sinai about Har Sinai and especially leading up to Kabbalah Satorah. We spoke about three important factors in terms of three different midos in terms of that are very important in terms of possessing in order to make real Kinyani HaTorah. Yashar Koach, and have a wonderful day.